If you brought your Bible, and I hope you did, turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Each week we will begin by reading the complete text every week. However, we'll be focusing only on one verse per week, but we'll be cross-referencing, and I hope that you will walk away from here more encouraged than ever before. Psalms 23, beginning with the first verse, the writer writes, David the shepherd writes this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today, Lord. I pray, Father, as we unpack your word today, I pray that you will do the miraculous in this place today. Father, I pray as your word is proclaimed in this room today, radically change lives in this place today. God, we ask you right now that you would just remove any obstacle standing in the way from us experiencing and hearing from you today. Lord, I pray that we walk away from this place completely different today. Lord, I pray that you receive all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. For over 32 years, I have had the privilege of crisscrossing America preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Primarily, I have in the last 10 years focused on one church for at least a 12 to 16 to 18 month period as a transitional pastor. But prior to that, I was in a different city, a lot of times multiple cities or multiple congregations and multiple buildings and multiple pulpits throughout any given week. And so I have traveled for most of my ministry. Prior to that, when I was in the food service distribution business, I also traveled. So primarily my entire life outside of school, I have traveled in my career. And so I have learned the art of packing light. I have learned how to pack a suitcase with only the necessities of the things that I would need. I look at the schedule. I know exactly how many clothes I need. I know exactly how many garments to pack, how many pairs of shoes I need or whatever I need. Whatever it was, the length of time for a week-long period, two-week period internationally, or an overnight trip, I've learned how to pack exactly what I need. When I arrive home tomorrow from here in Georgia after spending the night, I have a bag with me. I will dump the dirty clothes into the clothes hamper or close to it sometimes. I will dump it into the clothes hamper and that's all that's there. Then my shaving kit and those things will be placed back in its appropriate spot. If there's something that needs to be hung back up, my suit will be hung back up. And I am virtually take what I need. And so when I get home, I don't have a bunch of extra stuff. I don't have a bunch of extra stuff in my bag. However, my wife, on the other hand, now if I want her to know I'm about to say what I'm about to say, I promise you I will tell her. You don't have to remind her that I said this about her. She can't pack for an overnight trip. My wife feels like that she has to carry virtually everything in her closet when we go. Across town for a day visit, she packs a blanket and a fleece jacket. Even in July, she's always got something heavy to wear. She stays cold all the time. And so my wife, on the other hand, has not. All of these years, you think now almost 36 years, I would have been able to teach her how to pack only what she needs. And so if we're gone on a week-long trip, on a vacation or anything like that, we have to rent a U-Haul trailer just to carry her luggage along with us, you know. My wife, only she can't pack light. She has, and I always ask her, why do you carry so much? I might need it. And I say, that many shoes? That many dresses? That many? Are you kidding me? How much do you have to have? She said, I just don't want to be without. Not only does she have clothes, she has shoes, she has undergarments, she has all these things. She has jewelry and all this, and it's all wadded up, and it's mingled all over. And it's a nightmare. She tried for many years to teach her packing methods to my son. However, Ben, I got to him early. I began secretly in a discipleship program on how to pack a suitcase. And so my son is one like me. He only packs only what he needs. And when he's done, he dumps it in the dirty clothes basket, if he's going to wash it or not. But he dumps it in the dirty clothes. He's done that. My wife, on the other hand, she has not learned how to do just that. Folks, you say, well, why are you talking about luggage? It's only luggage. I believe that a number of people come into worship centers just like this. You're carrying baggage. You're carrying unnecessary things that God never intended you to carry. God never intended for you to carry this mountain of luggage that you're carrying. Today, we are going to begin a series over the next 6 weeks of unpacking Psalms 23 and cross-referencing some scripture to help us unpack and drop off some of the luggage that we might have brought into this worship center today. Worry is the topic today. Now, when I began to study Psalms 23, and I've preached Psalms 23 hundreds of times, many of them in funerals. And we use this as a lot of a funeral text, and it is a great funeral text, but I want you to know it's not a funeral text. It's not a death text. It is a live text. It is something for us to consider today as we walk through life. Psalms 23. There's about 115 words in Psalms 23, depending on your translation that you read from. 105 in some, 115. I counted them, about 115 words. And every one of those 115 words describe the first two. The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I started thinking through this text and I started thinking through our series today, I was reminded when I came here in November to preach for you to hear me, and I got to know you guys and met with your transition team and met with some of the people here. And I remember sharing some things called the church bulletin bloopers. I think you might have remembered me sharing that. It's kind of a warm up to the message. And I tried to open up with that to get us kind of laughing a little bit. And I remember reading in that church bulletin bloopers several things that were kind of funny. These are things that we mess up when we are trying to write them out. Maybe we write it wrong or it's articulated wrong. And I really saw this recently at a church nearby. My home has one of those marquee church signs. It's not one digitally like we have. It's one of those that you hang the little letters up on it, you know, and you hope that they stay on and the wind doesn't blow them off. And so this one had a particular slogan on it. And this church is always putting these slogans up there. And many a times those slogans mean absolutely nothing, have no spiritual value whatsoever. They try to use some kind of catchy phrase to get your attention, but sometimes they miss the mark miserably. And this time they actually did. It said on that marquee, don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Now, when I saw that, I said, now wait just a second. The church is not here to kill you off. That's not what our point is. But we will unpack today. Hopefully you will understand that worry is one of those pieces of luggage that we need to lay aside. I want you to notice in your outline today, I have a message truth for you. You and I were not born to worry. The old English word for worry is to strangle or to choke. Worry is not a natural thing. God does not want you to worry. You have to learn to worry. So then if you've learned how to worry, you can unlearn how to worry as well. right? You can unlearn the worrying. I want to give you some answers on what worry, the problem is that worry is unhelpful. It never solves anything. You can sit there and wring your hands. It really never solves anything, does it not? It never accomplishes anything. Only worry can't change the past, nor can it control the future. It only makes us miserable. So when you're worrying about something, all you are is just simply miserable. It is unhelpful. Secondly, worry, the problem is, it's unreasonable. It exaggerates the problem. It makes mountains out of molehills. It just makes problems seem bigger and bigger. To worry about something that you and I can't change is useless. It is unreasonable. It is unhelpful. And finally, the problem with worry is that it's unhealthy. It is literally unhealthy. The body was not made to worry. It's very unnatural. When you worry, you get ulcers, backaches, headaches, and it causes insomnia in some cases. Animals and plants do not worry. Only thing that God created on this planet was man, and man is the only person that worries. Worry can actually kill you. It is detrimental to your own personal health. So the problem with worry is that it's unhelpful, it is unreasonable, and it is unhealthy. So today I want us, as we look at these four principles for us to consider today, I want you, basically in the short time that we have this morning, I want us to really hone in on this one verse, Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When I started thinking about this series, I started thinking about it from the perspective as a prescription. That's exactly what this is a prescription for us to understand that God has a unique plan for us, that we don't have to worry. There is an antidote. There is a prescription for us. And the first antidote, or the first prescription, is that we believe God will take care of us. When we believe that God will take care of us, when we know that He is the Lord God of the universe, He is in complete control of everything, then why should we worry about it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I have everything, the New Century Version said. So what does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? Now, many of us, we're in the 21st century. We don't walk around knowing shepherds much. We don't see people herding sheep a whole lot. But so what does a shepherd do? First of all, he provides. He provides for us. Second thing a shepherd does, he protects us. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want. He protects us. He puts that hedge of protection around. If we are His children, He is going to watch after and care for us. How many of you have children in this room, or have had children in this room? Are you okay? All of us that have had children. Ben's about to have a nice young son named Hunter. I've seen the shirt already, got his name embroidered on it. It's really cool. Little young Hunter's going to come in here about July the 3rd, they think. He's going to come when God says He's going to come. Amen. Right, so about July 3rd, we're going to celebrate Independence Day, July 4th, but we're really going to celebrate young Hunter coming into this world, amen? We're going to have a big party. But you see, I can tell you, Ben thinks he knows about how to take care of his kids. He's just about to get thrown into the deep end without his water wings on, amen? But I promise you, knowing young Ben over here, Ben is going to do everything possible that he protects young Hunter. He's going to put a hedge of protection around him. He will fight you to death for his young son. That's what the shepherd does. He protects the sheep. He provides for the sheep. The shepherd also guides the sheep. He guides the sheep. Folks, in a few months, not too distant future, God is going to send you an under-shepherd to this congregation. Going to send you a brand new under shepherd. And during this transition time, I've been bestowed the honor of being the under shepherd here to guide us and direct us through this whole process in transition. But God has a man already selected for this congregation. It is our responsibility that we pray him here. We will get this team together, and that team will do all the due diligence and all the research and check through all the resumes and find out one particular man that God has for us, and God will raise him up and bring us here. But until then, we do not have to fret. You have multiple pastors here that are guiding us through this process. The shepherd always provides. He always protects. The shepherd guides the flock. And the third, and finally, the shepherd does correct. Now, I want you to gather in here closely, because on occasion, we have to be corrected. Amen? I can tell you, I don't like that whole discipline thing. Amen? I don't. I don't like to be disciplined. It's not my most favorite thing to do. I have one friend who says, "Boy, I just love to discipline my kids." Really? You sadistic, sick person, man. Why would you want to do such as that? I want to love on mine, but when mine gets out of line, I don't mind warming him up. At 26 years old, I'll warm him up, buddy. Amen? I think what happened to our school system, this is free, by the way. What happened to our school system, Pastor Ben, is that the Board of Education moved into a building outside of the classroom. I think we ought to put the board back into the classroom. And that would straighten up some kids real quickly. Amen? And all of us that are my age say amen to that. And all you liberals out there, you're saying, "Oh, no, we don't want to spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, we're not going to do that." We always know those who don't like to discipline their kids. You know why? We know their kids. Anyway, I'm just saying. That was free as well. I digress. The first principle for us to consider today is we believe God will take care of us. God will take care of us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, the New Century Version, listen to what it says. God will take care of his people like a shepherd. Even more specific, I want you to notice with me in Philippians chapter 4. We studied this not long ago, but I want you to notice what Philippians chapter 4. This is one of my favorite single verses of scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Notice what Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says. Notice what he says in verse 19. "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." The key word in that passage, that verse, is every need. God is in control of everything. He will supply everything. He will give us everything. Not what our greed is, but what our need is. God will always provide our needs, not our greeds. You say, "Well, Dan, I really think we ought to get us a new jetliner. You know, that's what we need is a jet. I need a new Mercedes." Do you really? No, God wants you to give you what you need, not what you greed. Now, if you can afford a Mercedes, great. We love you. I want to speak to you after the worship service. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we can't rob God just to meet our needs, our greeds. He will provide our needs. So understand that we believe God will take care of me. Secondly, accept Jesus Christ as Lord. When you notice what this passage starts with, when we accept him as Lord, now you say, "Wait a minute, I've accepted him as Savior and Lord." And we've said that so much in the New Testament North American church. Accept him as Jesus, as Savior and Lord. We almost just kind of run it all together and we just kind of wash over it. But when you really think about it, accepting him who died on the cross for you, accepting him as your Savior. Well, folks, let me tell you something. He's Savior whether you accept him or not. He's Lord whether you accept him or not. And so we have the great privilege of when he convicts us of our sin that we see the Lord is my shepherd. How do we do that? That means we turn all control of our own life over to him. We say, "God, we want you to be in complete control." And we say that sometimes on Sunday morning. We go, "Oh, yes, Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead. Yes, he is Lord. Oh, we're excited about that." Then come Monday, we take control back over again. You see, when we say he's Lord, that means he's in complete control. He's master of everything in our life. What does it mean to be Lord? It means to be in control. Either he is in control of your life or he's not in control of your life. Now, let me just stop right there because I know some of you say, "Well, that's awful black and white." Well, yeah, it is. And I can tell you there's been times that he's not been Lord of my life. There's been times that I've been Lord of my life. And don't look hyper spiritual at me out there. Don't be pious and spiritual at me today, because I know some of you have been the same boat that I'm in sometimes. Amen? If you've not, then you need to confess that sin right now because you are lying. We've all had control of our lives. We've all taken control of our lives thinking that we could do it better. But I want you to know that the Lord is my shepherd. That's what King David says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's in control. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Folks, let me tell you something. Either he is Lord of your life today or he's not. And folks, during this transition period, we need desperately for him to be completely Lord of every aspect of this ministry. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord. To accept Jesus Christ as Lord means three things. John 10, 14 and 27 says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. They listen to my voice and follow me. Who is in control of your life today, folks? That's the question that we must ask today. Who is in control of your life? If you are in control of it, then you're saying, I'm going to play God. I'm going to be in control of it. Either he is in control or he's not. This morning early in my quiet time on my second cup of coffee, I wrote this sentence down for you to consider today. Unconditional surrender will lead to an undeniable transformation. Circle in here close and let me unpack that for you just for a second. Unconditional surrender will lead to an undeniable transformation. I want you to know that God wants to transform your life completely. He wants to radically uproot you from where you are and plant you where he wants you to be. Unconditional surrender says, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. Quoting him back to him. He wants us to say, I surrender completely to you. Unconditional surrender will lead to an undeniable transformation. So we must understand that believe God will take care of us. Accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Thirdly, begin to pray about everything. You say, wait a minute, why did you just stick that in there? I didn't just stick it in there. That's exactly the progression that we see in this passage. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Folks, when we are in the presence of God Almighty in our prayer time alone with him, that's when he does the most restoration in our lives. When we're on our face before a holy God, he can reach down and put the soothing power of his balm on us. He can put that prescription medication into our lives. He is the Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing of every aspect. And so we need to begin to pray about everything. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety or worry. Ask all your cares on him because he cares for you. Don't worry about anything, Philippians 4, 6. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God all your needs. One of my great expositors, one of my great preaching expositors I've loved for many years, he's in heaven today. One of the great old Baptist preachers from Texas, his name was Dr. Ron Dunn. You may or not heard him. Dr. Dunn was one of the greatest expositional preachers I've ever been around. Several times I had the privilege of being on conferences with him, and I was the token, you know, goofball on the group, and then they had all these other great preachers, you know. And so I was at the Texas Evangelism Conference with Dr. Dunn, and he had just written his latest book. And I loved the book title. I just loved the book title. I read the book. It was great, but I really loved the title more than anything. It said, don't just stand there, pray something. I mean, goodness gracious, what a great line. Some of us just stand around thinking God's going to do something. Folks, let me say something. We don't just need to stand there. We need to pray something. We need to pray about everything. We need to upload and then download all our cares and needs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to pray. Prayer is an incredible stress reliever. When I am the most stressed about anything, that's when I get on my face before God and pray about everything. It is the greatest stress reliever. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And finally, believe that God will take care of me. Accept Jesus as my Lord. Begin to pray about everything and consider one day at a time. Consider one day at a time. Now, I know the view, some of you are saying, well, we should plan for the future. Absolutely. We should. But we don't have any idea if we're going to have a future. God gave us this moment. He may not even give us the rest of the day. Some of you in this room may not make it the rest of the week. I may not make it the rest of the day. I have no idea. He's in complete control of that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6, verse 11, give us this day, the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day, not tomorrow's bread, but today's bread. Lord, give us today. Pray about everything. And consider living one day at a time. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Focus on today's situation. God will take care of your today. And he has tomorrow already under control if there's going to be a tomorrow. Why? Because he's Lord God of the universe. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When I really unpacked this in my own personal study, and I boiled it all down, it took me back to the first two, John. The first two words, the Lord. The Lord is in control of everything. He's my shepherd. I have everything I need.